A spiritual gift is given to each of us so we can help each other. To one person, the Spirit gives the ability to give wise advice. To another, the same Spirit gives a message of special knowledge. The same Spirit gives great faith to another. And to someone else, the one Spirit gives the gift of healing. He gives one person the power to perform miracles and another the ability to prophesy. He gives someone else the ability to discern whether a message is from the Spirit of God or from another spirit. Still another person is given the ability to speak in unknown languages, while another is given the ability to interpret what is being said. It is the one and only Spirit who distributes all of these gifts. He alone decides which gift each person should have. This is the word of the Lord.
Thank you. Let's pray together. Father, we just thank you so much for your Spirit. We thank you for the power of the name of Jesus. And Jesus, you said that you would send someone to be our helper. You said you would send someone to be our advocate. You said you would send someone to empower us to go into the world and spread the gospel. So today, Lord, we thank you for your Spirit. We thank you for your Son. We thank you for your Word. And as we open up your Word now, God, we just pray that you would just, we don't just want more information. We want to be changed. So change us through the power of your Word. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's be seated. Man, a very small person must have been using my table the last couple of days. What's happening here? Last week we talked about the fruit of the Spirit. And today we're going to talk specifically about the gifts of the Spirit. And we're going to focus mostly on that passage that Stephanie just read. That is probably the most comprehensive biblical passage about the gifts of the Spirit. But you should know that there are lots of places throughout the New Testament that talk about the gifts of the Spirit. In fact, we're going to put up a little list if you're taking notes. I'm going to do some further study. 1 Corinthians 13 reminds us that the gifts don't mean anything apart from love. Romans 12 gives us kind of another list of some of the other gifts of the Spirit, like serving and teaching and encouraging and giving and leadership and mercy. Ephesians 4 talks about the gifts that are given to specific people in ministry, like prophets and teachers and evangelists and pastors. 1 Corinthians 7 is a reminder for you if you feel like God forgot to give you a gift. spoiler alert, he didn't forget. 1 Peter 4 encourages us to use the gifts of the Spirit that God has given us. 2 Timothy 1 is an encouragement to stir up the gifts that we have been given. Paul says to Timothy, you need to fan into flames the spark of the gift that's given into you. 1 Timothy 4 tells us not to neglect the gifts that we've been given, to put them to use. Paul says we should throw ourselves into things that God has called you to do and empowered you to do with these gifts. So if I'm going to summarize the New Testament instruction to the church about the gifts of the Spirit, apparently there's a lot of different supernatural gifts from the Spirit. They're probably not even all listed in the Bible. Every Christian has been given at least one and has been called by God to use them. And we shouldn't sit on them. And we shouldn't wait on them. We should stir them up. And we should fan them into flames. And we should do the thing that God has called us to do by the power that he's given us. We are all part of God's plan. Isn't that the coolest thing ever? Isn't that an amazing thing for you to think that you, he picked you of all the people. And I'm looking at you right now and I'm going, what is he thinking, man? I mean, he picked you. He picked us. I mean, it's amazing to think that you are called by God to do something that matters for other people and for the kingdom. And what he's calling you to do is so big and so important and so incredible and so amazing that it cannot be accomplished with just human strength or human wisdom or natural talent. So if you're going to fulfill this supernatural calling, you're going to need supernatural gifts of the Spirit to do it. So when we talk about the gifts of the Spirit, this is new teaching for some of us. I know there's a couple of pretty common attitudes that I think church people fall into that are not super helpful. Some people get fearful, and some people get feisty. Yeah? So some people are just so... We're all from different backgrounds, right? It's an interdenominational church, right? So I think some of us are just so fearful of like the mysticism, you know, or the just straight up weirdness that God has given us these supernatural gifts that we don't even want to talk about them, which I understand that. It's a very strange concept to think that God has given us these superpowers, you know? So it scares some people, and it scares some people to the point that they just want to put it aside, and they just want to kind of ignore what the Bible says about the gifts because they're scared. And I think the thing is, maybe instead of that, if we just didn't ignore those passages and we just really tried to understand them more, maybe they wouldn't seem so scary to us. So God revealed a real truth to me this last week. I was working at my house in my office, and I was eating a breakfast taco, which I think we all know that's when the Spirit really speaks. And I'm eating a breakfast taco, and a little cube of potato fell out of my taco on the floor. I didn't even know it. So I'm working along. Here comes my granddaughter, Penelope. She's 3. And she comes in, and she looks, and she sees this little cube on the ground. And she's like, what is that, you know? And so, you know how she's 3, so what does she do? She like squats down, and she's like looking at it like that. And she says, she calls me, what is that? And I said, it's a potato. And she said, oh, no. And she's like petrified. And she comes over, and she's going to comfort me now. She says, don't be scared, G. Don't be scared. It's not going to hurt us. So I mean, I'm thinking this kid is, you know, I've got a lot of grandkids. Maybe there's hope for the others, you know. But then I started like thinking, why is she scared of a potato? You know, what a strange, strange thing. And then, you know, we're unpacking things a little. We're uncovering, we're doing a little detective work. And a couple of nights before that, we'd had that big thunderstorm. And there was a tornado warning. And so her parents had taken them all in the bathroom in case the big, bad tornado come. And they're all scared and shivering in the bathroom. And she thought they were saying the big, bad potato. Like a legit fear here, you know. A big, bad potato is going to come and kill us all and take our house away, you know. So, you know, legit fear, right? Try telling a kid, don't be scared. That doesn't work, right? This is a real fear that she had. But once I explained it to her, and once I ate the potato, then she's fine, right? Once she understood a little more, she realized that the potato was nothing to be fearful of, that it was actually something good. Sometimes I think we're fearful of things just because we don't understand them. And if you come from a tradition that is very not charismatic, then I just want to say this to you in love and as your friend. Don't be scared. Don't be scared. The demonstration of His Spirit in us and through us, through things like prophecy, and miracles, and healing, and wisdom, and hospitality, and mercy, and giving, and encouragement. Those are literally gifts. That's what they're called. They're gifts from God. And His gifts are just like Him. They're good. And they're perfect. And they're for our flourishing. He wants to include us in His plan. He wants to partner with us in announcing His kingdom and bringing His kingdom and inviting people into His kingdom. Don't be scared. Don't be scared. The gifts of the Spirit are amazing, powerful presence from our Father. And we should respect the power and the divinity of the gifts. But if we're scared of them, we got to work through that. Or we got to get over that. Because if we really believe in, if what we really want is a deep, meaningful relationship with a supernatural God, If what we really want is to become these new kingdom, Christ-like humans that fully depend and trust in God and experience his kingdom and are part of its coming, that is supernatural stuff. Yeah? Yeah? It's supernatural stuff. We can't be scared of the supernatural if the supernatural is what we want. Right? If I want to be a skydiver, that might be an amazing, life-changing experience for me, but it's not going to happen until I get over my fear of heights. You see that? If you want to be a race car driver, starting with, you're not going to get anywhere till you get past your fear of going fast. I mean, Ricky Bobby taught us that. If you understood that, then you need to repent. Look at me. If we want to have this amazing experience of the supernatural Holy Spirit, we can't be afraid to interact with him. Can we agree on that?
Yes.
Can we agree on that?
Yes.
Okay, then I think what we're going to do is we're going to make a resolution together. Okay? You in?
Yeah.
Who's in? Who's in? Okay, it's 100%. Okay, so I've written the resolution for us, and I'm going to put the words on the screen, and I'm going to read them from the screen. And when I point to you, you repeat after me, okay? Here they come. Put them up. I will not be scared
of the amazing spiritual gifts
from my loving, perfect Heavenly Father. Amen. So some people get fearful, and some people get kind of feisty about the gifts of the Spirit, even defensive and argumentative and aggressive, and want to fight about it. And they kind of fall into two camps, I think. On one extreme would be the absolute, here's your word, cessationist. Right? This is people that say, no, the gifts have ceased. There's no longer any such thing as healing or miracles or prophecy, period. Right? On the other extreme over here, these are your continuationists, and these are people that say, no, the gifts are exactly the same right now as they were when the Jesus movement was getting started. And then, of course, in between those extremes, there are about a million different positions, right? Some people say the gifts have ceased. Some people would say that, like, some have ceased, and some have continued, and some would say that they still continue, but they're different now. Some people say that they continue now, but they're super rare. But the extremes on both sides of this love to fight. Yeah, they love to argue about it. And I've already told you my background. I was kind of raised in two wildly different denominations on opposite extremes, right? And so the first church I went to was over there. Hard no. The gifts don't exist anymore, and it is sinful to say that they do. And if you say that you do, that those gifts still exist, then you're going to hell. Okay? Then we went to the other extreme. And we went to a church that said, not only do the gifts exist, but if we don't see the gifts, if we don't see a specific gift, if you're not speaking in tongues, yeah, then you know what that means? You're not saved. What does that mean? That means you're going to hell. Right? So I don't think either one of them are right, but if they're both right, we're all going to hell. And so my dream is I know these people, and I know these people, and my dream is to just take three or four of those pastors, you know, and take three or four of those pastors and just bring them together and have not a debate, not a conference, but more like a tag team cage match wrestling event, you know, and let them jump off of ropes and whack each other with metal chairs. And just, or better, jump off church pews. Yeah? And whack each other with those big, fat, black King James Bibles, and the last one standing wins. And I just think, on pay-per-view, I just think there's some money to be made, you know? But that's them. That's them, right? That's not us. That's not us. We don't need to fight. We don't need to get feisty about it because we're not one of those denominations. We're an ecumenical church. Say that word, ecumenical.
Ecumenical.
How many of you know that word? Yeah, we'll have a spelling contest at church today. What this means is that we value love and unity over technical correctness on non-essential beliefs. I think I'll say that again. Because that was worthy of an amen right there. Okay, so get ready. We value love and unity over technical correctness on non-essential beliefs.
Amen.
Yeah, Jesus didn't say that people would recognize us as his disciples. Jesus didn't say that people would see him in us because of our perfect theology on the gifts of the Spirit. Jesus said in John 13:35 that the world would see him in us. They would recognize us as his followers by the way we love one another. And do you think he meant just when we agree theologically? I don't think so. And look, I'm the first to admit, I don't understand everything on this topic. And I may be off a little on my hermeneutics or on my doctrine, but I say this part in complete confidence. 20,000 years from now, when God's kingdom is fully come, when we're in the kingdom with Jesus, I'm not sure exactly what it'll look like. And you know, the Bible's not super clear, and it's hard to know what's a metaphor, gold streets and pearly gates and all that stuff. So I'm not positive, but I'm pretty sure that the kingdom of God will include lots of hanging out together and lots of talking and lots of laughing with each other and with Jesus and cooking some hot dogs on an open fire.
Amen.
And I'm pretty sure there'll be kids roasting marshmallows there. Only when God's kingdom is fully come, the marshmallows never fall off the stick, right? And that's going to be a glorious day. And again, the Bible's not super specific, so I admit I'm not positive about the hot dog thing. But I'll say this, and I am sure of this part. Some Jesus followers who are there will have experienced the spiritual gifts of wisdom and knowledge and supernatural faith and miracles and healings and prophecy and speaking in tongues and administration and mercy during their lifetime here. Some followers will have experienced those gifts a little, and some followers will experience those gifts a lot. And some people may not even be aware that they've experienced them at all. But look at me. We're all getting a hot dog. Yeah? We're all getting a hot dog, regardless of how you see the gifts. If you're a cessationist, if you're a continualist, we're all getting marshmallows. We're all going to be together with each other and with Jesus in his perfect kingdom. Why? Because your position on this topic is not the criteria for entering the kingdom of heaven. Somebody say amen to that.
Amen.
Right? Therefore, continuationism versus cessationism is an important and fun to argue about topic, but it is not an essential beliefs. Can we agree on that?
Yes.
Should we make another like official proclamation?
Yes.
It's fun to make proclamations, right? Right?
Yeah.
It's fun for me. I mean, I got to have some fun, right? So here's what we're going to do. This one, we're going to make like this proclamation about this, but this time you're saying it to the people around you, right? This is a proclamation that you're going to make to every single person in this room. So look at each other. Look all around. You have to make eye contact with every single, there's 300 people in here. Look at every single person. Okay, everybody, because what you're fixing to say, you're saying to everybody, okay?
Yes.
Everybody ready? Have you seen everybody?
Yeah.
Okay, here we go. Let's put the first one up. You're going to repeat after me. Whatever view any of you have on the gifts of the Spirit, my view is right. Say it. Therefore, if you disagree with me, you're wrong. Nevertheless, I love you, and I want to worship with you. I want to serve with you. I want to change the world with you. I want to become like Jesus with you. I want to spend forever eating hot dogs with you in the kingdom of heaven. Then went with a long version on that, huh? Okay, that's cool. No, that's good. So let's don't be feisty and fight, and let's don't be fearful and avoid. Let's just look at the Bible. Yeah? Let's just find some biblical truth about the gifts of the Spirit. Truth number one, gifts aren't fruit. The fruit of the Spirit and the gift of the Spirit are two different things. Yeah, so here's Galatians 5:22. We talked about it last week. The Holy Spirit produces in us this kind of fruit in our lives: love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Really important that this term, kind of fruit, is singular, not plural. It's not, he produces like a selection of two or three of these fruits from this list. No, it's saying he produces one kind of fruit, Christ-likeness. Yeah, and that is exemplified in all of those fruits. And that's why it doesn't say goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, or self-control. It says goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. This is not multiple choice, right? This is he produces the same fruit in all of us. So if you're filled with his Spirit, as you create time and as you create space for him to do it, God is producing all that fruit in you. Do you see that? Okay, so gifts are different than that. Gifts are different than that because everybody doesn't get every gift. Gifts aren't fruit. Spiritual fruit is the Christ-like character that God is building into all of us, and it includes love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, all those good things. Spiritual gifts are the specific superpowers, like talents, abilities, that he gives each one of us to do what he specifically calls each one of us to do. So he gives us all the fruits so that we can become like Jesus, which we're all called to do. And he gives each of us specific gifts so that he can do what he specifically called each of us to do. So Tim Keller said it better than me. Tim Keller said, spiritual fruit is who we are. Spiritual gifts are what we do. Gifts are not fruit. Second truth, the Spirit is the source of all these gifts, not you. Not you. 1 Corinthians 12:4, there's different kinds of spiritual gifts, but the same Spirit is the source of them all. And this is not a knock on you. You have some like natural gifting, right? You were born with it, or you were raised in it, or you worked really hard to develop it. I mean, actually, that was a gift too, because God gave it to you in your genes, or in your family, or in your environment you grew up in, or in your drive. So we might call those things natural gifts, but spiritual gifts are always and only a direct result of the Holy Spirit living in you. So you can learn more about your spiritual gifts. You should. You can exercise your spiritual gifts. You should. You can practice your spiritual gifts. You should. But you can't create a supernatural gifting. That's supernatural work. That's Holy Spirit work. I'll tell you this. You can do pretty good stuff with your natural gifting. If you're really smart or really talented or really hard worker or something, you might have really good gifts and talents on your own. But the most important, most effective, most world-changing stuff you'll ever do is what you do in the power of the Holy Spirit and the gifts that he gives you. And here's my favorite illustration of this. Okay, here's a drill. I can drill. I borrowed this from my dentist, of all places. I can drill in my own strength, right? Here's what it would look like. I'd like put it in, and it's like, I mean, if I'm strong enough, yeah, I'm naturally strong, right? I'm naturally determined, right? I have natural perseverance. I'll eventually drill a hole, I can do that. But the spiritual gift of drilling, which is not listed in Romans or 1 Corinthians, like, yeah, you see the difference. Listen, that's different, right? That's the spiritual gift. And so the thing is, yeah, you can probably do some great stuff on your own. And if you want, you can do all that you can with your natural gifting, and that's great. But if you have a supernatural challenge, if you have a supernatural problem or addiction or pain, if you want supernatural wisdom, freedom, healing, if you want to overcome a supernatural enemy, If you have a supernatural calling, and you do, if you want supernatural effectiveness and success, you need supernatural gifts. And the Spirit is the source. Third truth, the why matters. If you're going to figure out how to experience and maximize these gifts, we first need to understand their purpose. Why does God give us these spiritual gifts in the first place? Right? Start with why. 1 Corinthians 12:7, Paul tells us, it says, a spiritual gift is given to each of us so we can help each other. Right? Now, I think this means a couple of different things. Number one, your gifts may help somebody else find peace or healing or freedom or life. If you can teach me, right? If you can prophesy over me, if you can pray for me and I get healed, then that's you using your supernatural spiritual gift to help each other, right? But I think it's also talking about something else. I think it's talking about helping each other towards our common goal, right? Towards our common calling. The King James Version says, a spiritual gift is given to each of us to profit with all. You know what that means? I don't know what that means. I don't understand that one. The English Standard Version says, a spiritual gift is given to each of us for the common good. Yeah, and so I think in this sense, helping each other means working together to carry out our common assignment, which is to carry on the work of Jesus. So God gave us spiritual gifts so that we could help each other individually, and then also so that we can effectively work together to do what God calls us to do. Fourth truth. The gifts are meant to bring unity in diversity. The gifts are meant to bring unity in diversity, not unity instead of diversity. Because that's good, but this is more than that. The unity actually comes through our diversity. What brings us together is our need for each other. Because you have gifts that the kingdom needs that I don't have. And I have gifts that the kingdom needs that you don't have. So for the common good, right? We need each other. Our diversity is what brings the unity. We're like a bunch of weird shaped puzzle pieces, right? So Stephanie read for us today. No matter how perfect Stephanie's little puzzle piece is, we'll never have the complete picture without your piece, and 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 my piece, because her piece is amazing, but it can't fill your spot, right? It's just like a puzzle. Her shape is right for her spot, but only you are shaped and gifted right for your spot. Yeah, God's plan is, His intention is that our differences and our diverse gifts create a need for each other. And this is designed to pull us together, to create this beautiful picture. And it's a picture of Jesus. It's a body of Christ. 1 Corinthians 12:27 says, all of you, not each of you, right? Collectively, all of you together are Christ's body. And each of you is a part of it. You see that? So I'm going to see if this illustration makes sense to you. I'm going to show you a picture of one puzzle piece, and it's me. And that guy is gifted, right? He's got specific interests and values and experience and spiritual gifts and limitations specific to him. He's a very strange shaped piece of the puzzle, right? And then if we add another person to that, okay, there's Margaret. So Margaret's also got a weird, you know, shape of talents and gifts and spiritual gifts and likes and dislikes and limitations. And so together, you see how much better that is, right? Well, then what if we added another piece? Well, there's Pastor Mike. He's got some stuff going for him. It's different than ours. And who else? Add another one. There's Joy, different, whole different puzzle piece, right? Add another one. There's a whole bunch of all different puzzles. So another one. See that? They're all different puzzle pieces. Each one of those people is bringing something different to this picture. Another. Look, now there's a whole bunch of these things, and when they're all together, look what starts to happen. You start seeing, let's see that next slide. You start seeing that they're forming something, right? But look what they're forming. It's the body of Christ. All together, we make up the body of Christ. All together, we form this temple for His Holy Spirit to live in. All of these pieces are important because they all have a different role, because they all have different gifts. So all of these pieces need each other if we're going to do what we're called to do. Their unity is in their diversity, because all are necessary to complete the puzzle and create the body of Jesus. And that body doesn't move forward unless all the body parts are finding their gifts and doing their part and working together. This analogy is throughout the New Testament of the body of Christ, right? Your feet, you know the song. Remember the song, "These boots are made for walking"? Your feet were made to walk, man. Your feet are good for walking, but your feet can't walk by themselves, right? They got to have, as I recall from medical school, the ankle bones connected to the shin bone, right? You got to have all that. You got to have nerves, right? You got to have capillaries. You got to have ligaments and heart and brain and lungs, all of the skin cells, right? Without all of that stuff, your feet are useless. The body only walks forward if all the parts are working together. So Jesus came to earth in a human body, and He came to do some stuff. He came to announce God's coming kingdom. And He came to begin to bring that kingdom here. And He came to invite and empower people to become part of that kingdom. And He initiated all of that in a human body. And then He went back to the Father. And He turned the continuation of that work over to the church. And we became the body. So Ephesians 1:22 says, "Together we make up His body," just like the human body. We're filled with His Spirit, and together we're called to continue His life work, to announce God's kingdom, to bring His kingdom, and to invite other people to become part of it. And that is the calling of the body of Christ when Jesus was living in a human body. And that's the calling now of the body of Christ, the church. That's our calling together. And we can't do it without each other. And we can't do it unless each one of us finds their role and fills it. And none of us can do that on our own. We can only do that together and by the power of the Holy Spirit and through these supernatural gifts that He gives each one of us. So whether your spiritual gift is prophecy or wisdom or discernment or administration or mercy or giving or teaching or anything from those lists, we have a saying here at Home Church: there's a place for you here. And that doesn't just mean that we like you. We do like you, but that... we like most of you. But what it also means is there's a place for your interests. There's a place for your experience. There's a place for your calling and your passion. There's a place for you to use your spiritual gifts here. The body doesn't move forward without you. Amen? Okay, so there's lots of spiritual gifts. And one of the most amazing, beautiful gifts of the Spirit is the gift of healing. How many of you would say you've experienced or seen a gift, supernatural healing in your life? It's a lot. It's a lot. If you raise your hand, you would probably agree supernatural healing is amazing and incredible and beautiful and awesome and super confusing, right? And really hard to understand because not everybody gets healed, right? In fact, eventually, everybody doesn't get healed. So suck on that for a minute, right? Jesus raised Lazarus from the dead. Ooh. Then he died again. Yeah. And he stayed dead after that. So be encouraged. No, I'm just saying this is important, and it's hard to understand, and it's too important and too hard to understand for us to breeze through it right now. So next week, we're going to spend some extra time, and we'll talk specifically about the supernatural gifts of healing and miracles. So for today, remember, we don't need to be fearful, right? These gifts are gifts from our Heavenly Father, and we don't need to fight or get feisty We don't need to take extreme sides on this thing. It's possible that it's something in the middle, right? It's possible that the gifts exist, but they've changed in the last 2,000 years. A couple of weeks ago, we showed how the gift of prophecy has changed, and it's different now in the New Testament than it was with Obadiah and Ezekiel and Isaiah. Some of the gifts may have changed. Maybe some of the other gifts have also changed now, just because the world is different, and just because now we have the Bible, and because now we have the model of Jesus, and we have his Holy Spirit in us. But I will say this, from my perspective, I don't see anywhere in the Bible that says these gifts are gone. It might be different than it was 2,000 years ago, but God can give his kids whatever supernatural gifts he wants to. And we are the New Testament church, right? We are the New Testament church. So I think we should do what those New Testament passages instruct that we read at the beginning. We should figure out our gifts. And we shouldn't neglect those gifts. We should stir them up. Yeah, we should fan the flames of those gifts into a fire. And we should use those gifts as we find our roles in the body of Christ, so that together, as his body, we can supernaturally continue his work to announce his kingdom, to bring his kingdom here, and to invite other people to be part of it. Let's pray. Father, I'm surprised and kind of amazed that you would choose us, that you would choose to redeem the world through us, that you would call us to be part of your plan to bring the world back to you. So first, thank you for honoring us like that and for dignifying us like that and for loving and trusting us like that. And Father, I thank you because even though you saw our shortcomings, you called us in spite of them. And you gave us these spiritual gifts, these supernatural gifts, so that we can overcome our shortcomings and we can do supernatural work. And so, God, thank you for calling us and for empowering us. And as we move forward, God, I just pray that we won't be scared of these gifts and that we won't fight over these gifts, but that we will just with open hands receive the gifts that you give us, and that we will not just sit on them, we will stir them up, we will fan them into flames, and we will put them to work for your kingdom, to announce it to the world, to help it to come, and to invite people into it for your honor, for your glory. Amen.